Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's 8:49, and joining us now for our pre-opening commodity market report is Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct Hog markets today are called steady to $1 per hundredweight lower. Terminals are called mostly steady in extremely light volume tests today. Tops from $51 to $54. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $51. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, May 22nd, negotiated swine purchases were 13,366 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $69 to $79. The weighted average, $75.08. A loss of 95 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $51.08 to $62.26. The weighted average was $59.53. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 25,611. The base price range, $69.50 to $81.50. The weighted average, $78.24. A loss of 54 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $55.25 to $60.25. The weighted average, $58.64. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural forecast across the Corn Belt is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Actually, it's Scott today.
Oh, Dave. It's Scott. Thank you.
That's okay. In the U.S. Midwest, rain fell in about 40% of the Western Corn Belt Thursday, with Nebraska into Midwest Missouri wettest. Rainfall through early this morning ranged from a tenth to 5/10 of an inch, with totals up to an inch. Rain continued overnight in portions of the lower Midwest, with Nebraska and Iowa the wettest, where anywhere from a quarter to 3/4 of an inch rain fell. Frequent and sometimes locally heavy rain will fall through the end of May, inducing planting delays over portions of the Midwest. The Western Corn Belt will see the greatest rainfall, with Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin to see the greatest rainfall and the highest frequency of precipitation. The Eastern Corn Belt will see a couple of mostly favorable planting days Saturday and Sunday. That's if we don't get too much rain today before rain becomes widespread Sunday into Tuesday. A brief period of dry weather will occur during the midweek next week before a frequent shower pattern develops in early June that will bring on some periodic rain delays. Northern crop areas in the Midwest will be wettest in early June. High temperatures for the next week in the north will be in the 60s and 70s with some 50s today in portions of Wisconsin and Michigan, and again in Monday in parts of North Dakota and Minnesota, with 80s in the west on Sunday. Highs in the south will be in the 70s and 80s most often, with a few extremes over 90 in the southwest on Sunday. Low temperatures in the north will be in the 40s and 50s with some 30s. Crop-threatening temperatures are not likely, although some soft frost might occur Tuesday morning from northern Minnesota to northern Michigan. Southern areas will have lows in the 40s and 60s. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, showers brought rain to the region from about the southern 90% of the Delta through Mississippi Thursday. Rainfall amounts were anywhere from 10th to 4/10 of an inch were common, with local totals up to an inch in Mississippi and local amounts up to 5 inches in southern Louisiana. High temperatures were mostly in the 80s, with a few lower 90s in Arkansas and Mississippi and a few 70s in northern North Carolina and Virginia. Today's forecast is drier for the Delta and Southeast through the 30th of the month through June 6th. Net drying is now expected for this period, and today's forecast verifies there would be a better outlook for late season planting. Scattered showers will be still cause some planting delays during the coming week, but rainfall will be mostly light and should not seriously interfere with field work. In the U.S. hard wheat belt, red wheat belt, weather conditions contrasted sharply across the U.S. hard red wheat areas Thursday. Rainfall 3/4 inch to more than 2 inches occurred in central Nebraska, with North Platte reporting 2.15 inches, McCook 1.12 inches. Rainfall elsewhere reported mostly a few hundredths of an inch to 2/10 of an inch, although Guthrie, Oklahoma did report 2.23 inches. Isolated scattered strong thunderstorms also occurred in interior western Kansas, where numerous tornadoes and reports of hail were received, possibly damaging a few areas of the wheat crop. High temperatures Thursday were in the 50s and 60s in Nebraska, while 80s and 90s occurred from central Kansas and eastern Colorado into Texas. Heat will continue a common feature in the southern plains through the next 2 weeks. Daily highs will continue to be in the 80s and 90s, lows staying in the 50s and 60s, with a few warmer readings on thunderstorm days. Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado will not be quite as hot, with Nebraska periodically cooling in the 60s and 70s during the coming week. temperatures through the end of the month and the beginning week of June will be average, warmer than usual. Rain is still expected in many wheat areas today through Sunday. Central Kansas to central and eastern Nebraska will be the wettest, with rainfall anywhere from a half inch to 2 inches, and locally more will occur. And rainfall in the remainder of the wheat country will rarely be under a half inch. Rain will occur in more than two-thirds of the wheat country Monday through Wednesday, and then after that, precipitation will become more frequent in the northern half of the region, while Texas and Oklahoma will trend much drier. A little crop moisture stress is liable to develop while winter crops are reproducing and filling in unirrigated wheat fields in the southwestern plains. Any rain in the region would be welcome, but daily highs in the 80s and 90s, the odds are good that crops will end up with less moisture over time, possibly threatening some yield potential. Most of the crop outside the southwestern plains will continue performing favorably. That's your growing area's weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Oltoff.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 801, up 3/4, last trade up 4 3/4. The Chicago Board of Trade July wheat opened at 746 3/4, up 1 3/4, last trade up 2 3/4. December, 784, up 2, last trade up 3 3/4. July corn opened at 594 3/4, down 1. September, 607 1/2, down 1. The last trades on those for the July was up 2 3/4, and the September up 2 1/4. December opened at 622 1/4, down 1. The last trade there up 2 3/4. July beans opened at 1324, down 3/4. Last trade up 16 1/4. November, 1323 1/2, down 3/4. Last trade up 18 1/4. July of 2009, 1366 3/4, up 2 1/2. Last trade down 1 1/4. July soybean meal opened at 327.50, down 50. Last trade up 10. July soybean oil opened at 61.61, down 22. Last trade up 114. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Well, this has been very much a week, Jackie, where as goes crude oil, so goes grain prices. Crude oil at the moment up significantly off of its opening bell this morning. What are we going to see in the grains?
Well, there's no question that the two are definitely trending with each other at times, and then sometimes they divorce each other. The bean market is being more heavily influenced, I think, by the Argentinian farm situation, whether that's right or that's wrong. I mean, the reality is they're already 2 months behind. But what I saw this morning, you know, the farmers say the Argentinian talks went poorly. The government says they went well, and there's no agreeing in between. So I think this is going to be a struggle we're going to continue to see. Crude oil, of course, and the U.S. dollar have been leaders. This morning we have crude oil up, we have the dollar down. And so I would have to say that we probably will see some strength in the market, at least early on. And then, of course, we're going to see whatever happens prior to a holiday week.
Yeah, a lot of traders probably already bagged it in for calling it a four-day weekend. Why don't you look into your crystal ball, shine it up, and try to figure out what might we see come back Monday night. That is, if we don't have any unusual weather, which, of course, has been the case all spring.
I was just going to say, I don't know what you're hoping for. All I can tell you is that when we traveled down here from Wisconsin on Wednesday, all the way down from Wisconsin, coming in I-39 to 74, we saw a total of 2 fields emerged, and we saw a lot of rotary hoe action and also a lot of fields that weren't planted. I think if traders come south and they come through this area, the Champaign area, they're going to see some emergence, but we're also going to see some pretty yellow corn. We've got some nitrogen leaching going on, and we're supposed to be getting rain most of the weekend on and off in a large portion of the Midwest, with some heavy rains coming into the western and into Iowa belt. So my guess would be that we come back in, depending upon how we close today, we could come back in significantly higher again on on Monday. I expect we're going to see some profit taking, which might put some pressure on the market at the end of the day today.
Why isn't this on traders' radars more than it has been? I sense that they're satisfied with the planting progress, getting seeds in the ground, and they really haven't focused on the emergence yet.
Well, I think that it's still early, and of course, you know, we have all the touting of the new hybrids and how the new hybrids can handle anything. And I think the traders, you know, take it seriously. You and I that are out in the countryside have a pretty good idea that that's not always the way it is. I think we're already cutting some yield off, yield potential off the crop, and that's without even looking at any pollination problems. My biggest concern is that we've got nitrogen leaching, and now with some consistent rains, which we need to keep this crop in decent shape, it keeps the roots lazy, and we may not get down to the nitrogen as fast as we need to. So I think they're just not concerned about that at this stage of the game because they just don't understand it.
And the replant, they don't quite get the amount of acres that are going to have to be replanted yet either, I don't think.
No, I don't think, and I think to them when they look at a report that says, you know, that this is planted, they just take it, this is planted. I mean, they're not farmers. And we know that when you mud seed into the ground, and I have had more guys this year, I've gotten quite a few phone calls actually from guys who are sitting with their planters stuck, waiting to be pulled out, just wondering what's going on in the market, than I have ever had in all the time I've done this. And so, you know, we're desperate to get it into the ground. And then, of course, the worst thing happens. We come along and we start to have some of the rains miss us, and that hardens up the crust, you know. So I don't think they really understand that at all.
So I think with some patience that it seems to me that we're looking at potentially eventually putting a 7 in front of these corn prices.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see us try and stretch our way up to the $8 level. I know that might sound crazy, but there are just so many ifs with this crop at this stage of the game, and we cannot afford to be losing bushels, no matter how you look at it. When you looked at what came out on the last report and the expectations, you know, for the continued usage, we have great ethanol prices. There's just so many things going on, and the farm bill, of course, passed. We didn't see any major changes in any of that. The pressure that we're seeing on them talking about changing the federal mandates. Well, even if they mandate 9 million gallons, it's still a tremendous demand from the corn base. And so, and I don't think that's going to change, to be honest with you. I think it's a lot of rhetoric in advance of the presidential election.
Thank you much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. You're listening to WILL Urbana. We join the BBC in progress.